Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever watched a track and field meet? I'm always intrigued by the field events, the jumping and the throwing and that kind of stuff. I get exhausted watching all the running. But there's one kind of running event, of track event, that always captures my attention. And those are the relays, where four team members, they're all running the same race as fast as possible. But it's the passing of the baton that fascinates me, because they have to time that moment just right so that one hands off to another seamlessly and quickly. When it works, it's a joy to watch. And when it doesn't work, that's what usually leads to the agony of defeat. In today's gospel story, the story of the Transfiguration, there's a lot that is going on. People glowing, there's a visit from heroes from Israel's past, a cloud descending, which has always been a symbol for the presence of God. Voices from heaven are there. Confusion is there. There's just a lot happening in this story. I believe, though, that all these things happening in today's story are like the passing of a baton. Now, it doesn't happen as quickly as it does in a 4x100 relay, but a baton is passed, and Jesus gives us a glimpse of God's glory. And it all starts as Jesus goes up the mountain with Peter, James, and John. I usually call them the PJs. But Jesus takes the PJs up this mountain in order to pray. It's not a hike. It's not a stroll. Jesus is modeling behavior for Peter, James, and John. He's modeling the behavior to take time and pray. Jesus and the disciples, by this time in Luke's gospel, have been together for a while. There have been exorcisms and healings. 5,000 people have been fed. The 12 have been sent out on their own mission. So Jesus is showing Peter and the others. He's showing to all of us and anyone who will listen to him that taking time away, that pausing in the midst of all the busyness of our days, that finding a moment to pray is incredible. It's a blessing. It is also essential for our faith and our growth as we strive to love our neighbors. And so on the mountain, as they were praying, something happens to Jesus. He went from being Jesus, just normal Jesus, to being dazzling Jesus. There we are. His clothes, his face, all of it began to glow as Jesus was transfigured. Now this event, this happening, showed that something important is going on. And in that moment, as Jesus began to glow, that is when the passing of the baton begins. Because the passing of that baton is actually the transition from the old covenants to the new. But it all begins with those markers from those old covenants. There's a mountain, right? A descending cloud. There is glowing. Although Jesus' brightness is not borrowed like Moses was in our first reading today, there is the presence of the law and the prophets represented in the visit by Moses and Elijah. So many of the trappings of the old covenant were there, but all of that was outshined by Jesus. Jesus sits in conversation with Moses and Elijah, representatives of the ways that God's people have been trying to live, whether it was following the law to the letter or hearing the reminders from the prophets. There was always a path for God's people that we could never fulfill. As sinners, it is impossible for us to earn the gifts, to earn the guidance or the love or the forgiveness that we need. The law only pointed out our guilt, and the warnings of the prophets were ultimately inadequate due to our weakness. in speaking with these two men, Jesus is learning from them, as well as teaching them of the good news that he has come to bring. The good news of God's love, unconditional and unstoppable. This is why it is so important that as the cloud descends, we hear a voice from heaven that says, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." You see, we have listened to Moses, the lawgiver, and turned those gifts from God into demands, into all sorts of "you've got to." And then we've used that to judge others as poor. We've listened to the voice of the prophets. And then we've spent more time ascertaining the appropriate size of animal sacrifice so that we might appease our own conscience. This voice on the mountains was making amazing claims. This Jesus is the Son, the heir, the image of God. This is the chosen. That means the Messiah, the Christ. This Jesus is the fulfillment of all of those promises. So this command to listen has a new urgency and a new hope as well. This is the baton being passed. This is ultimately why Peter, James, and John are there on that mountain. Yes, they learned the importance of finding time to pray, but they were there to see that transition, to watch it go smoothly, and to recognize that we have a part in it. Then what? You see, that's ultimately my question at the end of this transfiguration story. Because in a relay, when the baton is passed, well, then what? In this moment, at the transfiguration, when it all is said and done, then what? In the relay, you get running. The baton pass isn't the end of the race. It just happens in the middle of it. You need to get running. Here in Luke's gospel, it's the same. No matter how much has happened in our story, no matter how Luke tells us that they were really quiet about all of these things that had happened, Jesus and his disciples still need to go down from the mountain and keep moving forward. If that doesn't happen, if they don't come down the mountain, if they don't keep moving forward, then this entire story is a waste of time and space. Jesus needed this moment of prayer, of conversation, even of acknowledgement, in order to help prepare for what's next, in order to prepare for the then what. Because as Jesus heads down the mountain, he begins his journey to Jerusalem. This moment, this transfiguration moment, is the end of the beginning and the beginning of the end. Jesus sets his face to the place where living God's love will have the greatest impact for all of us. He goes forward to teach and to heal, to care for the forgotten, and to show us how that we too can live for the sake of our neighbors. As Jesus heads down the mountain, he leads us in love, showing and sharing that unconditional love of God. And for us today, as Jesus heads down the mountain, he leads us into Lent, which stands for us as that time to pause in prayer, to find time to meditate, to pause and contemplate on the gravity of our sin and our need for a Savior. We follow Jesus now into Lent as a time to confess, as a time to strive to live as children of God and followers of Jesus. For us, the answer to the then what question is that we get to follow Jesus. We get to follow God the Son, the chosen, our Savior. We get to pause and take time to pray. We get to listen and to follow. And we get to go into the world with hope and make God's vision into our mission. Amen.